Matthew chapter 25. Let's stand together. Thank y'all for singing. Brother Riley, thank you for knowing the mind of the Lord and want to sing. That's blessed my heart tonight. Appreciate the goodness of the Lord. We're going to look this thought again and get back in on this thought of the midnight. Midnight, the word midnight in the scripture. And of course, we're using Matthew 25 to lay our foundation. And I want to give you a thought, maybe two thoughts this evening. We'll see how the Lord leads. The Bible said, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. There's a lot of foolishness in our day, ain't there? A lot of foolishness in our day. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Verse 6 is our verse we're lifting for our thought. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. The door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Jesus gives the whole summation of this parable, what he's driving home in verse number 13, and saying, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Continue our thought this evening on how to make it through the midnight hour. How to make it through the midnight hour. You can be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight that we have the privilege to come in the house of God and this place of prayer and fellowship and gathering around the Word of God. We make our prayer tonight one more time in the lovely name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe tonight, as you told us in your word, if we ask anything in his name, Lord, that you hear us and that we have the petitions that we desire of thee. I'm not asking, Lord, that we might consume anything upon ourselves tonight, but Lord, we're asking that the name of the Lord Jesus would be magnified, that Lord, you'd send help that is desperately needed to the people of God and our own church and ministry. You know our heart tonight is to be a blessing and an encouragement, Lord, to stir the faith of the people of God. Lord, I pray this evening that you'd use us to do just that. Open our hearts to truth, our minds to, Lord, glorious thoughts. And Lord, I pray, Lord, though the message is not deep tonight, may, Lord, the reminder, Lord, of promises, a reminder of our walk with God, Lord, this evening be stirred up in our mind. Lord, we'll thank you for what you do this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. As we continue this thought, we understand it's not really our goal to necessarily preach verse by verse through this parable that the Lord gives us. We understand this parable, the 10 virgins, is one that people like to debate as to where it fits in the prophecy and among us this evening. And we've just briefly drawn out several truths that maybe would break down some of that. We looked at the 10 in the parable. This is the emphasis of Jesus saying the kingdom of heaven will be likened unto 10 virgins. And so we see the 10 in the parable. And in the 10, we find a representation, I believe, of the whole of humanity. Christ doesn't break us down by racial barriers, by our financial status. He doesn't break us down by our political affiliations. He breaks all of mankind down into two categories, that is, the foolish and the wise. And I don't want to really preach all of this, but the five foolish, they are those that have lamps, but they have no oil. That is, they possess a vessel, but nothing on the inside to fuel them. These represent those that are a type of false professors that have their number among the ten, but really, when all is said and done, we find that they are empty vessels that have no oil, no oil of the Holy Ghost, no oil of joy, no oil of salvation. And we could preach this parable and deal with in the ten that there are five that are foolish. But Jesus said that there are five that are be counted wise. These are those that have lamps, they possess a vessel. Jesus said they're wise because they have oil in their vessel. And so they are type and a picture of what we'll call tonight true possessors of salvation. They, my friend, know what it is to truly be saved, to be indwelled and infilled with the Holy Ghost of God. They have received that oil upon their salvation and are to be counted as the children of wisdom. I'm glad tonight I've been accounted of the children of wisdom, of those that have turned to the Savior and have been gloriously saved. And so briefly tonight, we'll just say that everybody under the sound of my voice tonight, and everybody in our county and everybody across the world tonight, is in one of two of these categories. You're in one or the other. You are either among the lost or you're among the saved. You're among those that are unprepared, as we'll see in a moment, or those that have made ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus. And so we see the ten in the parable. And then we see the tragedy in the parable. For we see in the parable the unprepared, that is the foolish, that the tragedy is seen and that they miss out on the opportunity to spend eternity with the bridegroom. And so when the call and the cry is made and the trumpet sounds and they awaken and the bridegroom comes back, there's a tragedy in those that are unprepared. What a tragedy that is, to be in this service tonight, to be around the preaching of the gospel, to have opportunity to hear the distinction between being saved and being lost, being ready and being unprepared, and yet run head through life doing your own thing, only for the Lord to return and the bridegroom to come back. What a tragedy it would be to be unprepared. And we make much of that. You ought to get ready. In fact, that brings us to the teaching in the parable that Christ gives in verse number 13. And we let all the theologians argue about where the parable of the ten virgins at and the meaning of the kingdom of heaven. I could argue all that with you. I believe I know what it means, but I'm not here to debate. Brother Jack, he debated some of y'all maybe last Wednesday in the parking lot. Amen. And he's up for a good fight again tonight. And so you bring it on and he'll straighten you out tonight. I do know this tonight, that the teaching in the parable according to verse number 13 is that the Lord is teaching that indeed the Lord is coming. That is the teaching of this parable. The Lord's on his way. It matters not what the liberals say, what the deniers and the rapture and the sound of the trumpet and those that would arise and be the mockers and the scoffers in the last day would say. I believe tonight that according to just the parable of the ten virgins, that the Lord is teaching that he is coming. I want you to understand that tonight he's on the way. I know it's been a long time since he promised he's going to come, but his promises tonight are as fresh and real and true and a reality as they were 2,000 years ago when he promised he was going to come. And so the teaching in the parable is that the Lord is coming And the teaching in the parable is you ought to be watching for his return. Amen. And may I say, there's a lot of things we all understand. What's going on in Israel tonight? We don't need all of that to tell us the Lord's coming. But I tell you what it does do in the heart of a child of God that's watching, is it encourages your heart to understand, amen, all these things Jesus said must come to pass. And when you see these things happen, lift up your eyes and your head for your redemption, draw it nigh. And so our hearts break tonight for the innocent that have been slaughtered. And all the fallout that is going to happen in days and weeks to come. And in every side, and innocent people are going to pay a price for the evil men. And those that are no doubt demon-possessed tonight, that have sparked a war and an outrage. But in our minds, as God's children, amen, we're watching tonight. Thank God, I'm glad I can watch and understand the Lord's on his way. And then, of course, the teaching is to be ready when the Lord returns. Amen, you must be ready. Watch, therefore, he said. For you never know, you don't know the day and you don't know the hour, but if you know he's coming, you better make sure you're ready when he comes. Amen. And so that brings us to the fourth thought in the parable that gives us our thought, and that is the timing in the parable. We understand as we've meditated upon this that and the Lord very pointedly through this parable gives a time. Now, when we think about the timing in the parable, we're interested in verse number 6, where Jesus said, "And at midnight there was a cry made." And the cry was simply this, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." And so the sun is set, and the darkness is settled in, and nighttime is, my friend, begun that. To be throughout the land. We understand that the dew of the evening time is settled in upon the land. And my friend, that darkness and that night time is now turned into the parable to what Jesus said. Is that element of time at midnight. This term midnight is the description of the hour of the announcement that the bridegroom was on his way. That my friend, things began to be said, and a call began to ring out, and a cry began to be heard in the midnight hour. That my friend, that you are in the hour in which the bridegroom is going to return. We consider tonight that it was in the midnight hour that the wives possessed what it took to make it through that midnight hour. On the opposing hand, the foolish, they awake out of their slumber and their sleep. And there the foolish began to realize that they did not have what it was going to take to make it through the midnight hour. You say, how do you know that? Because when the cry was made and the reality of that midnight hour settled in, they went to the wives trying to borrow the oil of the wives. But what they learn is what many need to learn tonight. That in the midnight hour, when this time takes place, that, my friend, you're going to have to possess something to your purse hat. There's some things going to have to be real to you that if you're going to make it through the midnight hour, you'll never make it unless you have it to yourself. Borrowed oil will not help you make it through the midnight hour. And so many tonight, it can be maybe a child borrowing the faith and the religion of their parents. Maybe it's a church member borrowing the oil and the profession of those that attend church with. But all of that's going to be sorted out in the midnight hour. And I'm glad tonight I can tell you that as a saved child of God, I have what it takes to make it through the midnight hour. Amen. Amen. And we're watching tonight
And I believe we're in that midnight hour of prophecy, and that's not the point of the message so much that we're trying to emphasize, but I believe we're in that midnight hour of prophecy where, amen, according to the parable, the Lord is coming. He's coming soon. And I'm glad tonight I'm ready, and I have in my vessel, amen, what it takes to make it through these days we're living. If you're saved, I want to remind you tonight, you have, amen, you have inside of you, if you're saved now, amen, I'm not talking about saying you're saved, I'm talking about you're really saved, you have on the inside of you tonight what it takes to make it through these days. There may be days you sleep and you slumber, but amen, every now and then God will put a loudmouth preacher in your path to wake you up, amen, and realize in the midnight hour, amen, you need to rise and get after it, and amen, triumph, and light the old and light the path in which you're to be living, amen, and I'm glad we as children of God, we have what it takes to make it through the midnight. Amen. And so they made it. The wise made it. And you and I, we can. And by the way, not only can, but we are going to make it. The word midnight is the word we're emphasizing, interested in. It's used 14 times in 13 verses of the King James Bible. The word midnight, it deals with that element of time, Brother Randy. The element of time signifying a breaking point of the end of one day and the beginning of another. Amen. It's where you tell, amen, today goodbye and you enter into tomorrow. And when we think about midnight, of course, that is the nighttime. It represents in picture to you and I of the dark times of our lives. It represents hardship. It represents trials. It represents tears. Here's what David said, weeping, it may endure for the night. That's not just a single night. That is a season of life. In which we would say I'm in a midnight hour, a midnight season. And so there are trials and there are tears. And there are terrors, and all of this is represented in the midnight hour. In the Bible, we find that in the midnight hour, there's both good things and bad things that take place. Amen. And God is the one that determines whether or not the midnight's going to be good in your life or bad in your life. Amen. And we see in the text in the parable of the 10 virgins when the midnight hour came. Amen. Half the crowd can look in the midnight hour as a good scene and a good time. I am one that they was going to fare well through it. And yet for the other half of the crowd, it was going to be a very, very sad midnight hour. Amen. Amen. There are burdens, when you study the scripture, there are burdens and there are blessings both in the midnight hour. So when we look at the word midnight in the scripture, I've got to hasten on. We looked at last Wednesday night the first mention of midnight. In fact, the first two mentions of midnight both deal with that night of the Passover of the Lord through the land of Egypt. In the first mention of Exodus 11 and verse number 4, the Lord has promised that he is going to pass through the land of Egypt. Judgment is coming, and the wrath of God is headed through the land of Egypt. He said to Moses, you announce it. When I pass through, I'm slaying all the firstborn of every house. And so the announcement went out, and chapter 11 ends with judgment. It ends, Nathrim, with the Lord saying, at midnight is when I'm coming through. When you turn the page and you come into chapter number 12, there is the announcement of the Passover lamb. And it would be the lamb and their relationship to the lamb and the blood of the lamb being shed and being applied to the doorposts of the house of the children of Israel. And the Lord made the promise that when I come back in the midnight hour of death, everybody who has a relationship with the blood and with the Lamb, he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And so in the midnight hour, chapter number 12, indeed the Lord came back. But thank God those that knew the blood had the blood and were acquainted with the blood. The Lord passed over them. And everybody that had the blood made it through the midnight hour. Amen. Let me tell you something tonight. You say, preacher, you awful dogmatic that we're going to make it as the people of God. You awful dogmatic that the church is going to make it through the midnight hour. I just understand tonight that the blood is our victory. Amen. And I'm telling you, let the judgment of God fall tonight. I know it rains on the just as well as the unjust. Amen. And the judgment of God may fall on a land. It may fall on a people. But I'm telling you, the blood is our hands from the midnight hour of God's judgment. Amen. I'm glad the blood, I can't get over this. I'm glad tonight the blood is our home to get us through the midnight. Amen. Everybody that had the blood made it through the first midnight hour mentioned in the Word of God. Amen. And may I say tonight, only those redeemed by the blood had the opportunity to make it through the midnight. If you stand tonight and say the judgment of God was to fall tonight, the blood is my hope, then I want to tell you tonight, there's not another midnight hour you can go through that you will not anchor in the blood of your Savior and in the blood of the Lamb. That blood, my friend, it cries out. That blood cheers us on. That blood gives us, my friend, the ability to be more than conquerors and arise. I'm telling you, in the midnight hour, okay, all of Israel was weeping in their houses. Their hearts were broken. The judgment of God had touched them. And it was that crowd that had the blood, Brother Larry. And the Bible said they went out with a high hand. And went out of Egypt rejoicing. Why? Not because of their education. And not because, my friend, they were super duper religious. Because they knew it was the blood of the Lamb that had helped them make it through that midnight hour. Amen. I'm going to tell you something tonight. You make it through the midnight hour. Yes, but it all begins with you being right with the blood of Jesus. Amen. I'll go home tonight. I'm trying not to bog down and it's happening again. If y'all can't tell, I'm enjoying the fire out of this thought. I know, and you've probably been the same way, at least you should be. Amen, watching all them missiles and bombs and the bloodshed. And I mean, all the stuff even going on in America today. I'm telling you, we look at that and from the human side, as just a human being, that breaks our heart. I'll be honest, say something about me tonight. Amen, that just, amen, wants to get a machine gun and go to battle tonight. Amen, and shoot up some Hamas members. Somebody say, man, there's something on the inside of me that as a human being has been disturbed, that has been heartbroken for the Israeli people, that, and really around the world, all the turmoil that we see that is going on in our day, and the injustices, all the sin and all of that. You say, preacher, what keeps you from losing your mind? What is it in the midst of all this midnight hair? You say, friend, I'll go home tonight. I'll say some prayers before I go off to sleep. I'll talk to Heavenly Father about some of this stuff going on. But Brother Tim, I'll pillow my head. Amen. And there'll be a peace and a flood in my soul. There'll be a rest I can have as a child of God. Amen, that is anchored in the blood of my Savior. Amen, I'm glad I'm attached unto the Lamb of God. And because of Him, we can make it through the midnight hour. Amen. I ain't going to make it too far again tonight. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I can make it through that midnight. The judgment of God's on its way. But when that midnight hour of judgment falls, I'm telling you, I'm going to make it through. Amen. Because of the blood. Well, once you're saved, you got to understand, once saved, the church and God's people, they still have midnight experiences. We'll never stand condemned in the midnight hour of God's judgment, but there are other midnight times. You'll find all sorts of midnight scenes, those 14 mentions in the word midnight, and a lot of those deal with God's people and holy people and saved people and people trying their best to live for God that had still encountered another midnight hour in their life. A time where hardships came. A time that came when they didn't know what to do. Amen. Amen. I hadn't given y'all this yet, but it was Ruth in the midnight hour that needed Boaz to step up in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. When she was a widow, when her life had been marked by paganism, her life had been marked as a stranger. Amen. Her life had been marked as an outsider. Amen. It was in the midnight hour that the Bible said that, amen, she can make her way to the threshing floor. Amen. To Boaz and lay down at his feet. Amen. It's in that midnight hour that he loaded her half. Amen. He loaded her sack and poured out more upon her that and she can almost even bear back to the house. Amen. In the midnight hour, amen, her Redeemer gave her what she needed. Well, you said, I'm saying that book's filled with God's people who had some midnight hour experiences. And every one of them made it through. Amen. And so what we're trying to do is we've seen the first two mentions, but we're looking at the last three mentions of the word midnight. And the last three all take place in the book of Acts. They all not only take place in the book of Acts, they all take place in the life of the Apostle Paul. Paul was saved. Paul was Holy Ghost filled. Paul knew what it was to serve God with all his might. You know what Paul had? Midnight experiences. Amen. I'm trying to get there, Brother Tim. Amen. I don't know if y'all running out of steam or I am. Paul's a good picture of the church tonight. A group of people that are saved and love God and want to try to do something for God, and yet there are experiences that we would call midnight experiences. There are some things that I believe the life of Paul in those midnight scenes teach you and I about how you and I as God's people can make it through the midnight hour. I already give you one of them, but Acts 16:25, we found that Paul there in the jail in Philippi, the Bible said that and after he and Silas had been beaten and thrown in prison, that they began at midnight to pray. And they're praying a while, but all of a sudden they break out in praise. Amen. The jail didn't shake when there's a praying. The jail, my friend, the bars did not open while they was praying. When their prayer turned to praise at the midnight hour, all of a sudden the earth began to shake and the presence of God came down. Amen. And Paul made it through the midnight hour. Amen. He may have been beaten and battered and bruised. Amen. He, my friend, may have been bullied around. And in the midnight hour, he made it by priesthood. Amen. He got his eyes upward, not downward. He got his eyes on his sovereign and savior and not a situation. Paul and Silas praised their way through the midnight air. Amen. I want to show you that again, God's people. Amen. Need to learn in this hour how to praise their way through the midnight hour. Amen. I know, child of God, you may feel like you've been beat up. And you may feel like, my friend, you've been done wrong. And you may feel the weight of shackles upon your hands. Yeah? But I want to say, by the help and the grace of God, if you'll learn to praise your way through the midnight air, you'll be amazed how that will help you to make it through that season. Amen. 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 All the grumbling and complaining and the pouting and the belly aching we do. And I'll be honest, I'm not seeing many people in that shape that's making it through the midnight hour. That crowd, you know that, amen, everything ain't well in their life. Everything ain't well in their body, and everything ain't well in their family. And that they've got bad news, and yet you ask them how you do it, and they say, I just got to praise the Lord. I just want to brag on the Lord. Amen. Let me tell you how good God's been. Amen. Somebody said how they making it through what they're going through. And making it by praising their way through the midnight. Amen. I ain't trying to make you mad. Amen. I wasn't trying to on Sunday morning. I said something similar. I ain't trying to tonight. Amen. But I wouldn't give you nothing. I wouldn't give you a amen, a blood nickel, whatever that's worth and whatever that means. Amen. For somebody said they're saved, still couldn't praise their way through the hard times. Amen. I've had to praise my way through some midnight hours with hot tears on my cheek. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. But Jack, there's been times I've held my guts in my hands. Still have to lift my hands and say, man may have done me wrong, but God's still been good. God's still right. That's what David said in Psalm 119:62. He said, I'll praise you, Lord, at midnight. I'll praise you because of thy righteous judgment, sir. Amen. Old David knew what it was done like to be done wrong. He knew what it was like. I had people turn on him and family do him wrong. And he said, I'm going to rise and still praise God in the midnight air. Because I know that God's word and God's ways are always right in my life. Amen. You're going to have to learn to have that kind of faith to praise God. Amen. Preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. I'm not belittling your situation. You know me. I love you in my heart. Would go out to different things I do know that people go through. And I'm telling you, your God's, the God you serve gave us a word that is still right. Amen. So you can still trust with all your might. Amen. You say, does that help me praise? That's what David said. Humble might, we quote Psalm 138, verse 2, I'll worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For as magnified thy word above all thy name. I'm telling you tonight, get in the book and draw, amen, some truth in his right. And lift your hands and praise God through your midnight hour. Amen. How we make it through the midnight hour, Paul teaches us we make it by praise. Amen. Let me say number two. And come now to Acts chapter number 20. I won't get the last one in. Let me just give you this. Saying in Acts, how we make it through the midnight hour. Paul teaches us we make it by preaching. In Acts chapter number 20, Paul is in his journey. He's got a goal in mind to get back to Jerusalem. And he's going to make some stops along the way, Brother Joe. And in Acts chapter number 20, we find Paul comes back to a place called Troas. In Troas, he's going to spend about 7 days there. And part of his time there falls on the Lord's Day. If y'all want to look there in Acts chapter number 20, Acts chapter number 20. Let me show you this verse. Bible said Paul met with them on the first day of the week. That upon the first day, verse 7 of the week, first day of the week, on the first day of the week, on the first day of the week, on Sunday, the disciples and the church, they owe I'm about to preach. Y'all ain't going to get mad, but I need everybody in the building to shout loud enough for some of that crowd that don't show up on Sunday that's watching the live stream. Bible said on the first day of the week they came together.
Amen.
That is, those that said they're saved, they didn't gather around the live stream.
Right.
I'm thankful we got live stream. It's got a lot of benefits. Amen. I'll tell you, one of the dangers I've seen the last 3 years since we've had that, there's a lot of folk, they'll stay home and you can get mad at me, I don't care. Write me letters and call me up. Jack's taking care of all my problems. Brother Jack's handling all pastor's problems. So text Jack about it. But they'll say stupid things like, well, I'm there in spirit. That's funny. I didn't see your spirit walk in the door.
Amen.
I didn't hear your spirit sing at the church hymnal.
That's right.
I can't see your spirit raise your hand and say, amen, preach on there, preacher.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Somebody say amen.
Free. Free.
On the first day of the week, disciples come together.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's all free. That ain't part of that. Amen. But I will say, if you want to make it through the midnight hour, probably a good place to be is at the house of God.
That's right. Amen.
Woo! That's good preaching.
Yes.
Amen. They came together to break bread. The Bible said Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Some of y'all think I preach long. Paul started preaching sometime that morning. He preached on through the lunchtime. He preached on through the supper time. He preached on past the sundown. Amen. And when the midnight hour came, Paul is still preaching to that church in Troas. Now, I'm not going to be too hard on Eutychus. He's a young man in that service. Amen. He got a little sleepy-eyed like some of us do in an hour and a half long service. But let's be honest, he's been in church a lot longer than we've ever been. His eyes began to be heavy, and he's in the third loft of the church, and church has got the lights burning. Thank God for a church that'll still keep the lights on in the midnight hour. Amen. They still had the lights burning in the midnight hour. Hey, man, this ain't deep, but it's about to help me tonight. Hey, man, the church in Troas, when the midnight hour came, hey, man, they still had the lights on. Hey, and they still had a preacher there, as a man of God that was still preaching to them. I want to say Paul was preaching to them before the midnight hour. When the midnight hour came, they said he was still preaching to them. And when Eutychus gets weary and falls asleep and falls out of the window to his own death in Damascus, amen, Paul was still preaching in the midnight hour.
Amen.
Amen. Let me just go on record tonight. I'm going to quit. I got a time in mind, and we're 8 minutes away from it. We'll do our best to hit it. Thank God for preachers that are still preaching in the midnight hour.
Amen.
Amen. Here's a church and a preacher going through the midnight hour. And here's a casualty of one that had the privilege to hear the man of God preach before the midnight hour. Amen. His eyes began to be heavy. And I'm going to give you a little truth by picture here in a moment in Eutychus. But here, my friend, his eyes began to get heavy. And see him as, amen, I watch some of y'all when I preach. Ain't been too much of it going on tonight, and I appreciate that. I know it's hard sometimes. I've been there. I understand. Amen. But like some of us, he'd catch himself, Brother Jack, he'd maybe do this right here, and he'd wipe his eyes. He'd pinch his leg. and he's doing all he can, but all of a sudden the weariness and the tiredness of his flesh, it just overwhelms him, and he nods off one last time, and he's sitting in the window. He got a little too close to the edge. Amen. Brother Philbeck, Pastor Philbeck, amen, preach on Eutychus, says, amen, the reason that Eutychus fell out of the church instead of in the church, amen, you can only fall, you'll fall in whichever direction you lean in the most. Amen. Let me say, in the midnight hour comes, I know in these days we get weary and our flesh seems to overwhelm us. Amen. Let me remind you tonight, you better be careful which way you're leaning.
Amen.
Don't lean away from the preaching. Don't lean away from the preacher. I know we get weary. I know we sleep. Even them wise virgins, the Bible said they slept and they slumbered. I'm not saying it's right. We ought to wake up. Amen. I understand the midnight hour comes. The tendency is to fall asleep. But when that midnight hour comes, don't be leaning away from preaching. You better be leaning into it. Amen. Brother Jack, when he began to lean away from the preaching in the midnight hour, when he fell asleep, he fell out. He didn't fall in. There's a lot tonight that have fallen out because they started leaning away from preaching. They didn't think they needed what was being said. They didn't agree with what was being taught and instructed at. And so let me say, in the midnight hour, hey man, if you're going to make it, you're going to have to lean into some preaching. And so Eutychus, he's a type of one who my friend, falls out. He's leaning away from preaching. They're sunk down and sleeping, and eventually they fall down. And the Bible said that Eutychus was taken up dead. That was the opinion of everybody in that service that seen him fall, went down, put their hands on him. They said, this boy is dead. Here's what I want you to see. The preacher man said, trouble not yourselves. He said, for his life is in him. Let's make a picture application here. Paul's saying, I've done give him too much preaching. He may have been leaning out away from it. He may have been more out than he was in. He'd shut down. He's had a fall. He's broke his neck. Paul said, I've done give him too much truth. I'm about to run. It may be the midnight hour, and the midnight hour may have whipped him tonight. He may have leaned away from what he really truly needed. He may be in a mess right now, but I know this much. His life is still in him.
Amen.
Amen. Can I say tonight, I'm thankful for the life that preaching has put into me. Been some days, Brother Carl and I fell asleep and had a fall and would have stayed down and dead and been hopeless. But I'm glad there's been some life through preaching's been put into me. Amen. Paul reached down at one that watched him nodding off, that one that smacked his hands trying to get him to wake up, that one that loved him enough to preach to him in the midnight hour. Amen. Said, I know there's life still in it. And he went down and he took him by the hand and lifted him up, and now Eutychus is restored.
Amen.
Some of you leaning away from preaching, you think you're going to go your own way. I thought about it today and I'm done. I'm talking about how to make it through the midnight hour. I'm thinking of a young man up in Kentucky, raised in a good family, raised in a good home, raised in a tremendous church, one of the greatest churches in America as far as I'm concerned. And he heard all kinds of preaching. I'm talking about the best of the best kind of preaching a man could ever hear. Got on up toward the end of his teen years and rebelled and walked away. Got leaning away from all that truth. went out into the world, began to do his own thing, making a mess out of his life. Hallelujah. And that preacher kept on preaching. And his preaching daddy stayed faithful to God and kept on preaching. And they prayed for him when it looked like he was absolutely gone with no hope of return. Out of the young man's own mouth and own testimony, he said, "I was doing all I could to do things my own way." He said, "But there come a time it began to be empty in my life. There's a time the things I was involved in didn't thrill me like they used to." He said, "In them midnight hours when I was all by myself," he said, "all that truth had been given, all that preaching had been given." He said, "It began to echo through my mind. It began to resuscitate back down into my heart." You say, "What is that?" His life was still in it. All that life, all that truth that preachers had poured into him, it was still in it. Hey man, you may lean away. You may go your own way. You may fall out and think it's going to be okay. I'm telling you, there'll be a midnight hour. All that preaching and truth you've ever been given, it'll start breathing in you again. That young man's back in church and right with God and serving the Lord. And that you say, "Why?" Hey, man, because as a man of God that preached to him and preached to him before the midnight hour and preached to him in the midnight hour and preached to him through the midnight hour, all the while his Aline and that preacher kept on preaching. He didn't back up. He didn't compromise. He didn't let up. Are you listening? He kept preaching to him all along. When that young man leaned far enough and fell asleep and fell out, there's something in him he'd never get over. You realize tonight, and I know it's all God and it's all God's grace and blood, and we preached all that tonight. Let me tell you, part of us making it through the midnight hour, it's going to be by preaching. Old-fashioned King James Bible, uncompromising, unfeigned, non-wishy-washy, Holy Ghost preaching. You know why your marriage has made it this far through all the midnight hours your family has been through? Is I promise you, preaching's had a part in it. All those times you've leaned away, some of you's backslid. I'm not bringing up the past. Some of y'all have know what it is to lean away and fall out and be able to come back. And you know why you're back? It's got something to do with preaching. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. Anybody else here know what it is? You start getting weary in the flesh and you start leaning away. All of a sudden it's like Brother Raines or Brother Wells or Brother Joe. It's almost like they appear to you. And you can hear them preaching. You got to go, "That's right, I need to straighten up." All the times you've been discouraged through the midnight hour and just weary and didn't know what to do, God send a preacher by, give you the exact message you needed, call life back out of you. I'll tell you something, we can make it through the midnight hour. We're going to have to make it by preaching. In a day and age where they heap to themselves, teachers have an itch in ears. In a day and age where compromise is all around. You know what I need in my life? You know what you need in your life? You need old-fashioned preaching. Don't take that for granted. Don't take it for granted. I don't claim to even be a good preacher, much less the greatest preacher. I'm going to tell you what we strive to be is a Bible Holy Ghost preacher. To give you enough truth that when the midnight hours come in your life, you got some life in you. Keep you breathing, keep you living, keep you praising by the help of the Lord. Well, how to make it through the midnight hour? One of these days I'm going to finish this thought. One of these days. We'll get to chapter number 27. Amen. Maybe we'll hit it on the weekend again, Brother Carl. Amen. Paul made it by praying.
Got in that storm, 14-day long storm. When all hope was gone, everybody else on the vessel said, we better jump ship. Paul had slipped off, laid his oar down, slipped off underneath that ship all alone with God. In the midst of that ship rising up and crashing down, Paul was getting hold of his heavenly Father. About midnight, the Bible said, the 14th day, I'm about to shout. It's about midnight, Paul come out and he said, sirs, you should have hearkened to me. That's that preaching business. You should have hearkened to me. I told you we shouldn't have sailed. Y'all said I wasn't a sailor. I was just a preacher. Paul said, you should have hearkened unto me. He said, but I want you to be of good cheer. While y'all been rowing from all your might and wearing yourself out, I've been down there talking to the Lord. And I've come back up to tell you the angel of the Lord stood by me tonight. He told me everything's going to be all right. And then he said this. He said, and I believe God. I got a word in the secret place and I believe it. We're all going to be okay. I can't wait to preach that. You make it by praying. Amen. All right.